Joining me now from Spruce Point Assisted Living and Memory Care is Deanne Hawkins. And Deanne is the Marketing and Communications Community Director. Tell me a little bit, how's that title exactly work?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. So I am the Community Relations Director. It's a couple of different facets to that. My primary job is to take all the inquiry calls, talk to people about Spruce Point and the services and the amenities. I also talk to a lot of facilities, so it may be a hospital or a skilled nursing or a rehab facility, senior disability services looking for a client to be placed. So that's my primary function. I set up the tours. I do the tours. I set up the assessment with our nurse, which is a key piece. Maybe we can talk about later. And then I'm helping the families move in and coordinating all of that care and getting paperwork from the physicians. We get paperwork on everybody before they move in. So I do a lot of that. And then I'm just kind of Spruce Point's representative for the community. So I'm on a couple of our local boards, SOS and Memory Care Respite of Florence, the social daycare program, volunteering where we can and coordinating with all the other organizations. We love to collaborate care. So we've done a lot of those last year. We did the Food Share and Habitat and went together for the community giveaway, which was amazing. And it allowed us to get things into people's hands that were here and didn't need to be used where we had them. And then I think I do internal marketing. So caregiving is a hard job. It's an incredibly necessary job. So we try and make sure that the people that work there feel valued and supported and they have some fun. So I call that my internal marketing program.
It really is a difficult job. You know, I've known people that have done that, and it's, you know, you have to have that, you have to have the soft shell, but then you have to have a hard shell too, because you can't take that stuff home with you.
It's
hard when you do that. What made you decide to come on over to Spruce Point Assisted Living?
I think it was an incredibly happy coincidence. I was in healthcare for 30 years. We moved here from Pennsylvania. I opened up a bakery, as you might remember.
I definitely remember.
I did that for a while. That's right when COVID struck us all. And I was missing healthcare a bit, but wasn't sure I wanted to fully go back into physical therapy. So I took all of our quarantine to do some soul searching, and this job came open, and it seemed like the perfect right turn for me. I understand the conversations people are having when it gets hard at home. I did a lot of in-home care as part of my physical therapy. So that part I saw, people's lives get very difficult and it's hard to get around and you get socially isolated. I've seen that. And I feel like I can really help and walk along those conversations with what I do and show people that there's an alternate way of living that can be great.
Now, obviously, we probably are communicating with people in this community that either are getting to that stage to where they might want to age in place in an environment such as Spruce Point, or we may have children who have parents that, you know, may be moving to that. What are some of the pitfalls that people fall into in getting ready or maybe not getting ready soon enough for transitioning to an assisted living facility?
That's a great question. I see a couple of major things. One, I think that people wait honestly too long to start having the conversation, either with themselves or family members wait too long to have that conversation with mom or dad or grandma. I think it can be done in a respectful way. But what we're seeing is people will come in and I can tell that they're having difficulty getting around. They're telling me that they can't grocery shop, they can't clean anymore. The community has really taken over a lot of those tasks. But what they say is, I'm not sure, I'm not ready, I'm not quite there yet. I think that a lot of times we are there and our concept of what does that mean to be there. If you're ready to have life be a little easier and not cook or clean or have to do your housework or yard work, you're probably already there to have at least have that conversation. The other thing I think we see a lot is having conversations about advanced directives and power of attorney paperwork. It's really, really never too soon to have those conversations. It becomes a real sticky situation when you are in that emergent situation. And I hear people say, well, we never talked about power of attorney. Maybe there's memory issues now. It just makes a difficult situation more difficult. And it's something, if you want to honor how you want your last years to be, having advanced directives and power of attorney in place is actually just very, very important to have your needs be honored.
I would imagine that ego comes into people waiting so long to get in to a facility that might help them. What are some of the misconceptions that you've heard from people that maybe you could straighten out? I mean, obviously, you know, there's different levels of how people can receive care. So talk a little bit about some misconceptions and maybe straighten some things out.
Yeah, there definitely are misconceptions. I think most people will think it's time if they're starting to fall, or, you know, I've had 3 or 4 falls. We know statistically that once you start falling, you're going to fall and you have the chance for serious injury. So I would say, again, knowing that assisted living can be a large variety of levels of care, you can be fairly independent, almost completely independent, and maybe just need someone to manage your medications, or maybe you just can't cook the meals for yourself. That's a perfectly decent reason to be living in assisted living. And oh, by the way, you have activities to go to and friends that you can meet and kind of built-in socialization. So you can be very independent all the way up to the point where you're needing assistance with pretty much every activity, bathing or dressing or walking to the dining room. That's the aging in place part. You can come in independent and then we walk alongside and we review your plan every quarter, and we can add services to your plan of care as you require more services.
How important is the social aspect of that when it comes to longevity and a better quality of life as we age?
That's the part that I can't even put to words. The part that I see, the socialization, I see people in their homes before they move in, and they tell me that they're lonely, that they can't get to church anymore. They can't get to their card club. They don't drive. They can't get groceries. And I see those same people a couple of months later. It actually gives me goosebumps. At happy hour, having a glass of wine and sitting at the puzzle table and laughing with other ladies that they've met there, or having difficult conversations. You know, people that have lost their spouse or their partner are talking to other people that know exactly how that feels. It is nothing short of miraculous to watch people make those connections and to realize how much we need to be around other people. We need to socialize with each other.
I can only imagine that, you know, hiding away in your house by yourself, you get depression sets in, you get, you know, feeling of being left alone, and then you start physically and mentally going downhill, you know, if you don't have some kind of, you know, life raft there to kind of help you. And I guess one of the things that is provided in places like Spruce Point is that you always have that potential. I mean, people could still be alone if they want, I imagine.
Sure.
But, you know, you have that potential of being around other people that that are like you, as well as the staff who support you.
Absolutely. And we do have some folks that live there who basically do like to be in their apartment. They'll come down for meals, or they can have meals in their room. That's also a service we can provide. I think a lot of people realize that they do enjoy socializing, and it's completely on their terms. So maybe there's one activity. Maybe you like to play bingo. That's where you're gonna come down and play bingo. Or maybe you like to drive to the lighthouse. So when the van is going to the lighthouse, that's something you're gonna do. Maybe other than that, you like to be in your room, listen to your classical music, or watch your TV shows. You can do all of those things. But at any point, if you change your mind, there's an activity calendar there and ready for you to join in.
Talk a little bit about how someone makes that transition into getting, and you mentioned that you get records from everybody before they come in and things like that. When someone is considering it, or an adult child of someone is considering, what are the steps they need to take in order to start making that transition?
So to reach out to us is the first step. I can send information by email to families that are not local, or just not available. We do that a lot. They can come in for a tour. I think you absolutely need to see yourself in a facility, whether it's Spruce Point or anywhere else. You have to walk in and have that feeling of being able to see yourself living there and being happy. We know it's a transition, but you need to say, yeah, I think that this could meet my needs. So I would say taking a tour. Beyond that, when someone takes a tour and they tell me they're interested, the next step for us is setting up an assessment with our community nurse. Our nurse does an assessment on every potential resident, and that does a couple of things. Primarily, it allows us to make sure that we can meet that person's needs. And it also gives that person a final price point, because that's going to help us to set what level of care they need from us. And that's completely individual. I would say it's kind of like an a la carte menu. So our nurse is going to go through about a 30-page document, and we're going to talk about anything that you would need help with. So that sets up your specific level of care. Beyond that, we get an authorization to get medical records from our potential resident or their power of attorney. And then I'm reaching out to the doctors. So we need to know what their medical diagnoses are and what their medication list is. That one's huge. We get that information, and then we're moving things in. So apartments come unfurnished. So we're talking about what size furniture, what you have, what's going to work, what you might need to pick up. I have a full list of what we bring. So that apartment is empty. So you're bringing trash cans and shower curtains and all of those things. So we try and make that as seamless as possible, because it's already stressful enough.
And I guess that helps, because a lot of people have a household before they get into that.
Absolutely.
And having that familiarity of their own stuff in there probably adds to, you know, being more comfortable when they first walk through.
100%. I mean, people, and that's what people want to know. Can I bring my own things? And yes, we want that apartment to be a reflection of you, particularly when we talk about memory care. We don't want someone to attach memories to things that they know. So we want photographs in there. We have a lot of artists, we want their paintings there, things that they relate to that will spark a memory. We try and get those things in before move-in day, for sure.
When somebody moves in to the facility, you mentioned that there's like an a la carte menu, I guess. So on one sense, you could get a full breakfast, or you can get one egg, one sausage, one piece of toast, yeah, down the line. Talk about the cost and how people generally pay for their care.
So the cost, there certainly is an investment in assisted living, and that really is on a case-by-case basis. Most folks will have some property or asset that they're selling, and that is going to provide their rent for a certain amount of time. We do have a lot of people who will eventually spend down to become eligible for Medicaid, and they remain with us. And then there are times, depending on, that's all completely census driven, where we have the occasion where we can take someone on Medicaid initially. So the financial conversation, I always tell people, don't not call because of that. It really depends on where we are at, where your staffing is, where your census is. It's kind of a complicated metric that we work through. So there will be a base rate, and then you have your level of care rate with a la carte. So levels 1 through 5 on assisted living have certain cost indicators that go along depending on how many services we provide. And that's pretty typical from what I've seen across the industry, yeah.
Now, one of your responsibilities is to get information out to the community about not just what's going on at Spruce Point, but you want also people to know about general health things and things like that and what to expect. Spruce Point Assisted Living is planning on starting something called Senior Moments. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so being a healthcare worker and just really feeling very passionate that I have just been kind of placed where I am at in this stage for a reason, I'm big on education. I think education is power. So if I'm seeing that people are kind of thinking about us too late, then my conversation with myself was, how do we change that? And I think that people need to have more information than what they do as they're going along. So my thought was, how can we do that in a social atmosphere that's not stressful and provide education? So I thought of Senior Moments, a coffee club. Can we get people together monthly and present a topic, or have different people come in and present, you know, something about medication or pain management, or as a physical therapist, falls risk, falls prevention? How can we present topics where we're also then there and available to have that conversation about community living if that's something someone wants to talk about? So I am currently kind of looking into what that looks like, where it would be. I thought Senior Moments was just kind of a fun little play on words, but just a place for people to come and socialize, get some questions answered, and also have community with each other.
And again, this gives them an opportunity to, they don't necessarily have to come into a facility if they don't feel comfortable, or they're not ready yet, or they don't necessarily want to say, I'm choosing one facility over another yet.
Exactly. Yeah. If they're not ready to test drive the car, they can just come in and think about it. Yeah, I really want it to be not stressful. I want people just to be able to come and get the benefit of that education. And if they happen to have questions about assisted living, certainly we will be there to answer those as well.
And I guess as the time gets closer, you'll start getting that word out.
Absolutely.
When and where and all that stuff.
That is the goal for us in the next month or two, is to get that together, to find the home for that, and to get some presenters set up and be ready to roll. So that is important, and I'm feeling just excited and passionate about getting that started.
Now, lastly, you've had a few people that have been put new in positions. You've kind of promoted some people within. Talk a little bit about the staff that has been that is in place right now.
Okay, so our nurse is Sarah Whitehead Sherlock. She's been there for about a year, I believe. I hope I'm saying that correctly. She is just a key piece of what we do. That nursing oversight is a huge benefit for people that are living there. So if there's something small going on, rather than being at home and, oh, I've had swelling for a month, you're going to have it for 2 days, and our caregiver's going to tell our nurse that someone's legs look a little swollen, and she's taking a look, and maybe she's calling your doctor. So we're keeping you healthier. She's managing your medications. We're making sure you're getting your medications at the right time. We find people come in and they get healthier because they're eating well, and they have good nursing oversight. So Sarah is a key piece of what we do. We have two resident care coordinators, which is kind of our mid space between our caregivers and our nurse. Jeremy Gray being on the assisted living side and Cassandra Sprague on the memory care side. They both have been there for a while, and they are just key players for us as well, for that day-to-day management. Kelly Dougherty was just promoted to our memory care director. She was our activities director, and she is amazing and high energy and compassionate and just really has a heart for what she does. So we're expecting really great things for there for memory care. And then Nikki Saunders is our new executive director for the facility itself. We call her senior executive director. She came to us from Grants Pass, has a background in the PACE program and connecting people with Medicaid services. So that's a huge resource for us as well. And she is passionate and high energy and driven and ready to just roll up her sleeves and work alongside everybody. So we've got a good team.
What is for the layman here, what is the PACE program?
Oh, the PACE program in Grants Pass is just how you seniors would have access to benefits. So she was helping seniors there to find out what they were eligible for and plugging them into those resources.
Okay, so that's a good skill to have.
It is a great skill to have, because there are times where we can't help someone. I try to provide phone numbers for anybody that maybe Spruce Point either isn't the right fit, or we can't help them at that time. I like to give somebody someone else to reach out to. I cannot hang up the phone and not provide something. So having Nikki as a resource for that will be huge for us as well, just for the community to provide an alternative.
All right. Dan Hawkins, Community Relations Director for Spruce Point Assisted Living and Memory Care. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Hour two of Our Town will feature the entire Roadie Court and an actor and producer of Frozen Jr.